Star Spangled Banner, your tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life. And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there is no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
So, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality in this day with this faith. 23 down, 2.5, picking up some dust now. More forward, more forward. Just into the right a little. Contact light. Okay, engine, stop. We're stopping it now, Eagle. Tranquility base here. The Eagle has landed.
Bye.
As we come before Thee this evening, we do thank Thee for the many blessings of life that we have received at Your hand. We thank Thee for Thy love and mercy, for this land of freedom and of beauty and abundance in which we've been permitted to live. We thank Thee for the gift of the gospel and for the gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This evening, our hearts are drawn out in thanksgiving to Thee for the blessings of this day, for the opportunity to come into Thy presence, for the opportunity to fellowship with one another in the bonds of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now this evening, as we meet together once again to study and to hear Thy word, we pray Thee indeed that You will touch the mind, the heart, and soul of the one who will bring this message, that as he stands in this pulpit to address Your people, Lord, that You will touch him and fill him with Your Holy Spirit. Give him liberty of thought, of word, of expression. Give him liberty of the Holy Scriptures and the application of those Scriptures to our lives, that we might be found walking worthy of the name of Jesus Christ, serving Thee, Father, and being of service to our fellow man. We hold up before Thee once again the many names of our loved ones who stand in special need. We do pray for our brother Don, for our brother Harold. We do remember all of our elderly loved ones. And we pray especially this evening again for our brother Fred Winnegar and for our brother Jim, who is suffering an affliction at this time, and for our sister Raquel. And there are many others, and You know their needs, Lord. Touch them and bless them, we do pray. And be with us as we wait before Thee, that our time might be properly spent, that our minds might be drawn toward Thee and our hearts touched by Your Holy Spirit. And we ask these things. We give thanks to Thee in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Uncle Hubert's rubbing off on me.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I'm very happy to be here and stand before you this evening. And the reason why I'm so happy is because I have a testimony to bear. When I went home this afternoon after our Bible school meeting, I had a severe headache. One was so bad that I was seeing double. Unable to read, unable to do much of thinking. Very debilitating. And I was sitting there contemplating, trying to read, figuring out if I was not to run to the drugstore to mix different pain relievers that one can buy for his headache, to get rid of my headache in time to stand here before you this evening. When in walked my brother Joel and my brother Ken to minister to my grandmother. And they got up and they were on the way out the door. And I'm one for taking my physical pains as long as I can. And I finally decided, you know, if I'm going to stand this evening, I'm going to have help. So I asked to be a minister too also. And my headache was immediately taken away from me. And I hope, with God's help, that in the very few minutes that I had to prepare and to run here, that the message I give tonight will be of God and not of myself. Because it does nothing for me to stand up here and tell you of Jim Yates. I have to tell you of God, and I have to teach you of Christ. And that's why we all met here. And hopefully, what I brought will help keep the kids awake. And it'll definitely keep me awake going through all this stuff. And I will deliver a message that has one very pointed meaning. I have a friend. I guess I could call him my friend. His name is Pat. He's a firefighter on my truck that I work on. And to me, Pat is a interesting fellow. Because every Sunday he takes actually only takes 4 hours of vacation time, but he's gone from 6 to 8 hours every Sunday. And he comes back and he laughs. He says, I was off today making money on God. Pat in his wallet. Pat makes a very good living, so to speak, off of what he calls off of God. His wife happens to be a fairly talented singer, one that many of you may hear on the radio one of these days in the near future, because they've signed a contract to go back to Tennessee and to make gospel records, with Pat as the arranger. So what he does on Sundays, his wife has a job at some big church, and they pay her quite well to do most of the singing and to arrange all the beautiful singing that they say that they hear. And he gets paid well for the arrangements, because he does all the arranging. He does all the sound work. But I've heard Betty's tape. And though, yes, Betty has a beautiful voice, but you'll never hear a prettier song sung than we've heard today from each of you out there as we sang, stood and sang, and from our sisters as they came up here, the quartet and the choir, sang. Most beautiful. Pat called himself a Christian. On Sunday, Pat's a Christian. By this terminology. Take you to my good old American Heritage Dictionary and read what it says about Christian. Professing belief in Jesus as Christ or following the religion based upon his teachings. Pertaining to or derived from Jesus or his teachings. Manifesting in the quality or spirit of Christ. The world today follows those very first few things that I read. They claim to be Christians because they, how they put it here, profess, or they have a profession to believe in Christ or Jesus as the Christ. And that's where they stop. They stop right there. Much to my sadness, way down the list, I read the first three. Number four is Christ-like. To be Christ-like, that is being a Christian. Not just to say I believe, that I profess, as Pat professes. Because Monday morning he goes out with his friends, the other firemen, and they drink, and they fish, and they play around, and they cheat on their spouses, and they do all manners of things that we're taught not to do. Monday through Saturday. Come Sunday morning, boom. Pat's a Christian. So what is a Christian?
I have my suit and tie on. Am I a Christian? So what they wear to church? Goes out and buys $300 tuxedos to go to church on Sunday. Does this piece of article right here make me a Christian?
That's my today look. Or is it the three-piece suit that the businessman wears or the lawyer wears that makes him what a Christian?
Pull one more out here.
I can put this hat on, and every kid that I go to school will tell me I look like what? What do I look like, Aaron? A policeman. Okay, I'm a policeman. I look like a policeman, but do I look like a Christian? My policeman's hat. Something out of my antique archives. What do I look like now? Indiana Jones, a movie star. But do I look like a Christian? No. It's not really a whip. It happens to be a rope that was given to me. $500 right there, because it's a specially lead-weighted rope for healing. Now I'm a roper. I was going to borrow a cowboy hat, but I thought I didn't need it. Does that make me look like a Christian? No. What does a Christian look like?
Might as well go through all of my stuff here. So I can get hot, be done and over with.
What do I look like now? Jennifer, what do I look like? A fireman. This is what Bob and I do for a living. Do I look like a Christian? No. Can the salesman, can the policeman, can the fireman, or even a movie star be a Christian? What do you think, Chad? Can they be a Christian? They can be. Well, I know of a fireman, I know of a policeman, and we profess to be. But how do we show the world what we believe in? That's where it becomes hard. That's where the hard part of being a Christian, being Christ-like, comes into being. What type of clothing do you think a Christian should wear? Erica, is there anything that you think a Christian should have on that people might be able to see? I think you have one on your face. A big smile. Yeah. That would show it. That's one thing a Christian might wear. Go to Romans in the 13th chapter. Reading the 12th through the 14th verses. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or in drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll stop right there. Put on the armor of light. Let your light shine forward. And you have heard many, many men stand up here before you and tell you what it takes to be a Christian. How you should pattern your life and how you should live. But I'm going to tell you, Christianity is not a one day a week thing. You cannot put on that armor of light one day out of the week, 4 days out of the month. It takes practice. It takes a great deal of practice to be a Christian. As a fireman, I go out and drill, and I drill, and I drill. And we drop hose, we squirt water, so that if a certain thing happens, I will automatically do this. It's first-hand nature. It's not second-hand nature. I think Brian could tell you that they go in and they practice simulations where there's a movie screen being projected. I don't know if it's coming from over their head onto a screen or if it's right in front of them. And they have to stand there and the door opens up. And they don't know when that door opens out of that car if it's going to be somebody getting out to be talked to by the police officer that just stopped them for the ticket, or if it's going to be somebody that's going to come out with a gun. And if that police officer has to stop and think, what do I do when he sees that weapon coming out of the car? We'll be reading about that person in the obituary. Because then it is secondhand nature to react and not firsthand nature. Thus it is with a Christian. If you wait till you're pushing to a point to react, you're going to do what is not firsthand. You're going to do what's secondhand. You're going to do something totally opposite of what you want to be done. And you're If you're like me, you go thinking, man, I just blew it. You know, I lost my cool on that patient, and I dumped on this poor person that really needed my help, but they triggered my anger. And in my anger, I lashed out, and I didn't act like a Christian. It takes work. A Christian can put on any type of clothing. And they can do many kinds of jobs. They can be president of the United States. Or they could be the man with all the keys that opens up the door and plays janitor. It is not this garb that makes you a Christian. It is that armor that you put on under this garb that nobody can see that makes you a Christian. Ephesians in the 6th chapter describes that armor in another way, in the 11th to the 13th verses. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we're not fighting one another to be a Christian. You're fighting against things you can't see. But I will tell you, they'll hurt you just as bad as things you can see. I'll never forget the feeling that I had the night that I heard Jay in his sermon pull out this big old arrow about this long with this razor edge sharp on it. Head. It'll go through bone. It'll go through marrow. And he likened it unto the fiery darts that the adversary will fire at you. That's what we're fighting against. Therefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And that evil day is not somewhere down the road. It's not years from now. It's today. We live in a day that is against anything that is Christ-like. And when I say Christian, that's what I mean, Christ-like. I don't mean Christian as the first few meanings in that dictionary, or as the world today uses the term for being a Christian. I mean being Christ-like. And if you're going to be Christ-like, the adversary is going to be at you every day. There's going to be stumbling blocks placed at your feet every day. Be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. With truth. Truth doesn't change. But in a fit of anger, you can't always say the truth. Or in haste, you cannot always be truthful unless it is first-hand nature. When you are pushed to the limit, when you can't think straight, you're going to do what becomes natural. And the only way to be Christ-like is to practice it so it is natural. Drill, for the lack of words, to be Christ-like. Dave, I think, said that he just come off of a muster where they go out and they have a set amount of time in the military and they do all kinds of different things. I think they fly the airplanes around and they fly them in for Dave and they how fast they can refuel them, check the oil, make sure that they're flight ready, rearm them, and get them back in the air. Minimum time. The fire department, we have minimum company standards that if there's a fire, we know that if we have to drop a hose and lay a line to have water to that house and to get water in the house, it takes X amount of time. Anything over that amount of time is not acceptable because there's life safety. To be anything other than Christ-like is not acceptable. And have on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with proportions of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to stand. I read a book once about the knights of old, King Arthur's time. Their armor was so heavy that when they fell off the horse, that's where they found them, because they couldn't get up. It took 2 to 3 men and a hoist to pick these gentlemen up off the ground and set them on their horse once they put on their armor. It took them years of wearing the armor to be able to build up the strength to fight in it. If you take your armor off and you lay it down and you leave it there Monday through Saturday, you have no protection throughout that week. And then when you pick it up and you put it back on in time of great trouble or for a Sunday morning service, are you going to be able to walk in it? It's going to be uncomfortable to come to church. It's going to feel wrong and funny to leave things at home and to walk down to church or to drive to church or to leave home and take time to come here Wednesday. Because it's out of place. It's not first nature. If you don't keep the armor on, it's going to be cumbersome to wear. I put this on with my turnout coat or my boots and my tank, and I automatically weigh 150 pounds heavier than I normally weigh. If I don't drill in this stuff and I don't practice fighting fire and life safety in this garb, how am I going to go into a burning building and save somebody when I'm struggling on my own? Can't be done. Okay, Jim, now you've shown me things that I can't do. Let's go on into a subject called stewardship. Today, the people I see in front of me have on that armor. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to take it off tonight when you go home? Are you going to put it in some damp corner and allow it to become tarnished? To allow things to chew on it? To make the leather or the straps that hold the armor on to become weak? Or are you going to take good care of it? And you're going to work on it? Just a real quick verse in 1 Corinthians. It's in the 4th chapter, and it's the 2nd verse. Moreover, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward is somebody that is in charge to take care of something. Each and every one of us that I see here before us, baptized and non-baptized members, today are charged to take care of something. And that is the gospel of Christ. It is not only the ministry's responsibility to steward and take care of that gospel. We send men out all over the world, and they preach and they teach. But who does? I thought Don was going to preach my sermon this morning. But who does the biggest amount of evangelizing, for lack of a better word? It's you. It's in your everyday life. Brian talked about a member of the ministry coming and talking to his grandmother at the age of 4 that changed her life. But it didn't have to necessarily be a member of the ministry. It could be a Stephen Kelly. He said he saw something in a person's life that he knew was different because of the way that that life was lived. It could be an Andy Brown. It could be Billy. It can be anybody. Just the way that you act and the way that you talk when you go to the grocery store, your actions can say that you're different from the world. In place of business, if you're in management or if you're an employee, things get hard and things get tough. The way you talk and the way you act reflect what you are. We need to be faithful. First Peter in the 4th chapter. Starting with the 10th verse. As every man hath received the gift, ask yourself, have you received a gift? I hear testimonies of things that people have received, of a gift that was given to them. Even so, minister the same to another. I'll stop right there again. What is the greatest gift that each and every one of us here have received? We've received the love of God. Can we not, each and every one of us, pass a little bit of that on? Can we show in our lives that we have this love with us and share it not only amongst ourselves but with the outside world? And pass it on. As a good steward of the manifold grace of God, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. And that is something that each and every one of us can do, especially in time of great stress. By our very mouth, we can speak as an oracle. We can allow it to shine. And to show the world that under this clothing is more than just a mere human being. We're different. If any man ministers, let him do as of the ability which God giveth. If a person is sick and we go to the hospital as lay members, are we not in a way ministering to those people? We're not doing as an elder can do when he lays the hands upon somebody and ministers to them to heal the sick. But we can heal the hurt and pain that's in the heart. by going and visiting with somebody that is ill at home or ill in the hospital. And I don't mean just physically ill. There are other ills. There's ills of feelings. Each and every one of us can go out and do this. That is our armor shining forth. We're showing the world that we're different, that we are Christ-like, that we're Christians. And each and every one of us has a different ability, and God has given us all their different abilities to be able to do different things. Some can sing beautiful. Some can preach the prettiest sermons you've ever seen. But each and every one of us here can reach out and shake a hand. And that is a gift that each and every one of us has given, and to share that love. And what all this boils down to is this right here. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, the very person that we say that we want to pattern our life after. We want to be Christ-like. I think Don today read in Hebrews in the 13th verse, or 13th chapter, I think it was 16th verse, talked about communications. In our very communications, in all things that we do, we can let our light shine forth, our light of that armor to come out through us and to tell the world not only that we profess with our mouth, but then our actions are Christ-like. That we're different than the rest of the world. That we have something to offer the world. Christ shined. I believe that even though Christ came as a babe and He came into this world in an obscure way, as a little tiny babe, and He grew up among mankind, I feel that when you looked into a crowd, you could say, there He is. Because there was something different about Him. His light shined. And each and every one of us can have that same light. That when we're in a crowd, they can look and say, there's something different about that person. Everybody's going to see, but few are going to want to partake. Just as few wanted to partake of the words of Christ when He taught them here. On this land, when He walked. But that is a form of ministry. That is a way to show and to be different than the world and be Christ-like. How do we go about doing this? David in the psalmist, in 31st Psalms, I think, picking out a few verses, did it quite well. And I'm just going to pick parts out of three verses, the 1st and the 15th and the 17th verses. In ye, O Lord, I do put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. We can pray to our Father. He will not give us anything that we cannot stand. We can get down on our knees and the Lord will help us. Fifteenth verse, my time are in thy hands. If our time is in the Lord's hands, if that's where we put them, then He's going to strengthen us. He's going to help us keep our armor fit. He's going to help us keep it polished
so that it shines forward. It's going to help us keep the straps anew so they don't break down under times of stress and in times of battle. Let me not be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed. If we're ashamed, our armor is weak. If we're afraid to tell our coworkers that I don't believe in that, or our students, that we go to school. Each of us have a job. Some of us work for a living. Some of us go to school for a living. All the kids I see in front of me, your job is school, to get an education. That is where you work. You leave work and you come home to spend time with your family. But in that setting, don't be ashamed to let your light shine. Don't be ashamed when somebody's doing something wrong, say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be a part of that because it's wrong. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Don't be ashamed that you're a Christian. Don't be ashamed that you want to be Christ-like. Let the world be ashamed. Let our light shine forth. We can pray about it is one way. Ask for strength. And I think that when Brother Don talks about he was praying when he was teaching school, that's the bad timing because I was in his class probably at that time, asking that he have patience. And during those times he's asking for patience, if I remember correctly, he said he was tried the hardest. And I'm probably the person that did it. When you ask for strength and you ask that your light will shine forward, be aware of the fact that there is another being out there that is going to work hard on you and that will test you. Being a Christian is not a passive religion. It is far being from passive. The world out there, it is a one day a week thing. Boom, I'm a Christian today, tomorrow I'm not. I live the way I want to live. Being a Christian is very similar to being Muslim or being of the house of Judah, being Jewish. It is a way of life. To be a Christian is a way of life. And just as you clean up your rooms for the children, just as the moms dust off the furniture, that is a way of life. So as being a Christian, you have to work at it to keep your armor clean and shiny. But the Lord is there to help. If we kneel in prayer before Him and ask for strength, we'll not be tempted, according to the Scriptures, above that which we can stand. Even if we're a policeman, that the job demands a certain type of character. Or being a fireman, that requires a certain type of character. The one thing that I'm ashamed of is I'm able to talk one way here at home, with my life at home, and yet there's a certain street language that has to be used. But believe me, I clean it up. And the people recognize the difference. My partner the other day started to tell me a joke, and he said, never mind, it's not for you. I said, okay, Kenny, it's not for me. He says, the wrong kind of joke to tell you, Jim Yates. I haven't stood up and told Kenny what my beliefs are. But there's something different in my lifestyle that I try to believe in. And I'm not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I am not beating on my drum. Because I have to work as hard or maybe harder than most of you in front of me do. But they do see it different. Be proud of the fact that we're a Christian. And know that it's not the clothing that you wear. It's not the job that you have that makes you that. It's what's in here. It's what you believe, and it's the armor of God that you put on yourself to protect yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Let's remember all. Shall we rise? God, our eternal Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of being here this day in Your house of worship. We thank Thee for the joy that we have felt in our fellowship one with another. We thank Thee for the goodness of Thy Word, which comes to us, Father, as a gift from heaven, to lead us in the ways of righteousness and truth, that we might indeed live lives that are worthy of Jesus Christ and acceptable and pleasing unto Thee. Help us, Father, to be a true follower of our Savior, Jesus Christ, not in word alone, but in deed, in action, in all that we say and do, in our attitude about life and about other people, about the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the message received this evening and pray that it will sink deeply into our hearts and that we might, even our little ones, remember the impact of the necessity of living a life of Christian virtue, a life of righteousness, of being different from the pull and the tug of the world and those that are about us many times, that we might witness for Thee and that we might be a light unto the peoples of the world who are hungering and thirsting and searching after truth and righteousness. We thank Thee for the safe return of our loved ones. We pray for each of them who are not with us this evening for whatever reason, that You will bless them. When we meet together in Thy name once again, may we have Your Spirit to be with us. We do pray and we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.